Greetings and blessings to all of you this morning as we continue our worship service together. It's a blessing to have this kind of a service. It's exciting to see when people choose to follow God and make and be baptized and make a statement that this is what they want to do. And I guess it's a double honor for me today because they're all my grandsons. And I don't know how often that happens, but anyway. So I am excited for them. These kind of services, like baptism, weddings, I guess there could be others, those are ones I think of. We that have experienced that in our lives, it's always a fresh reminder of, yeah, think back of the time when I was baptized, about the age of some of my grandsons, the older ones, 15, 16, somewhere in there. And there's some things I remember about it. There's some things I don't remember as well. But it was a highlight in my life. And it's something that I guess I don't often think about, probably as often as I should. But as I reflect on those kind of things, and in marriage as well, as you, and I'd like to say to these young men that as they go forward, what they do today is like a monument. It's something they're building. As the children of Israel went from different places, especially when they came through the Red Sea and so on, God told them to pick up stones, one for each tribe, carry them out. And carry them to this place that God directed, and they set up and made a monument there. And he said, this is so you don't forget, so that you remember. And tell your children, pass it on to them. And they asked questions, well, why did you do this? He said, well, it's because of what God did. And so to you young men today, as you take this step of faith, and you have taken that step, let me back up. I trust, and by your own words, I believe that you have accepted Jesus into your life, and that you are are saved. Now you're taking the next step of making it known to the world as such that I am identifying with Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed of that. So baptism is an important part of the Christian experience. And so I've simply titled it, Why Baptism? And my mind went right away to the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19. It's a command from God. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts 2:38, it's also an act of obedience. Peter told them, the people came to him after he was preaching, and they said, what shall we do? What can we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so it is a command from God. The scriptures tell us that we need to be baptized, to be identified with the kingdom of God and with the local body as well. And then Peter says, repent. And so where's all this stem from? Repent. So what is repenting? That is something you did when you accepted Jesus Christ. If you acknowledged your sin before him, you repented, hopefully. It means to turn away from, to go the opposite direction in your life. Why? Because sin is a problem. And that's why we find ourselves where we are in our lives today. And where people always, it's always been a problem since Adam and Eve sinned. Sin has been a problem. And sin is offensive to God. And God cannot stand sin. Sin will not enter heaven. And so it's a problem. And God, through the Old Testament, set up a formula and a way for people to receive not really forgiveness, but God, it covered their sin for the time being, that they were justified. But today, when Jesus came along, Jesus paid the price for that sin. He gave his life on the cross as he hung there, and as his blood dripped down the cross, that blood is for our remission, for our sins. And so we don't have to take and pick. Some of us would have a problem because we don't have animals. We don't have sheep. We don't have cows. We don't have goats. We don't have anything to offer. And so we'd have a problem. We'd have to go get something. But I'm glad we don't have to do that today. But Jesus was that sacrifice. And he gave his life once and for all. And he is our high priest today. And so we need to repent from our sin. We need to leave our sin and follow Jesus Christ. He gives us a new life. You can turn to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read the first six verses. That is our text as such, but I'm going to read a lot of other scriptures as well. But there are some things in here that I like what he says here as Paul addresses to the letter to the Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So what he's saying here is we need to die to self. When I repent of my sin, I say and I acknowledge that I'm a sinner, then I choose to follow Jesus Christ and his ways. His ways are opposite from the life of sin. Sin and righteousness are two opposites, and they cannot go together. And so as Jesus died on a cross, as we go through this, it's a symbol of we are dying to the old man, and I'm taking on the new. And as Jesus resurrected from the dead, so you and so I, as we follow the commands of God, we are raised, as it were, and we begin this journey of a new life, a life that is completely opposite of where we were headed. We were headed down, now we're headed up, so to speak. We were doing sinful things, now we do things that are godly and holy. No, we're not perfect. Perfect, I don't think, enters into this. It's not being about perfect. It's about being forgiven and being God's grace and mercy on our lives to forgive us. Wherever we are, whatever we've done, God's mercy will reach out to us and he forgives us. Baptism is also a public confession. Water baptism is a public testimony that we have died to sin and self and live for God. I realize that there probably have many times and many times people that are baptized that maybe haven't been saved. They haven't really been converted. They do it for whatever reason. I know in my time of growing up, it was one of those things that you got to a certain age, it was time to be baptized. And so if you had a group of people, if you decided to get baptized, the rest here, I'll be baptized too. And so that's why I told my grandson, I said, don't do it because somebody else is doing it or one of your cousins are doing this, but do it because You want to do it. It's from your heart. You understand that this is a command from God, and you want to do it because you want to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Now, he is now the one that you are following. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." Confession is good for the soul, the Bible says. And I think it's something that is, I know that the boys are nervous because they're going to have to stand up here and give their testimony. And that's to be expected, and that's okay. But there's something about verbally expressing your commitment or your decision publicly. It does something for you. It will give you strength. It will give you power from God. I believe it does. That will help you in your Christian life. And so don't be ashamed to tell the people, to tell people, to be a witness that you are a Christian and you want to follow Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20. I want to turn to that. That's a great proclamation that Paul, a testimony that Paul had. He says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In a life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Again, that's a great proclamation that he is saying, that he no longer is out satisfying the sins or the pleasures of sin or the desires of his fleshly body. But he has given that up to follow Jesus Christ. And so that's a good testimony for each one of us as well. When we die to self, we take on a new life. Second Corinthians 5:17, a very familiar verse. Probably most of you know what that is. You have memorized it. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Remember that. No, it doesn't happen overnight. Just because you're getting baptized today doesn't mean that, oh, now we're free. We're going to not face any more problems or struggles, or you're not going to be tempted to disobey. You're not going to be tempted to be lazy and so on. No, you're still going to experience those things. But you have a power within you. When those things come your way, then you can pray to Jesus and ask him to help you and to guide you, and he will. He is faithful, and he will do that. Also, Ephesians 4. There's a few verses there I'd like to read. 20 through 24. "But ye have not so learned Christ." He's continuing on talking to the Gentiles, and well, he's talking to the Jews, I guess it is, but it's referring to the Gentiles and how that they were living before in their old life and so on. But he says, "Now ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." To exemplify the new life. And it's not always in words. Someone has said, "Preach, preach, and preach. And then if you need to, use words." You know, our life says a whole lot more than our words. Sometimes it has more effect on people when they see that you live the life that you talk about. There's a lot of people talk have a lot of the right words, but their life does not correspond with that. And so it doesn't mean a whole lot. But our life needs to be consistent with what we say. 1 John 1:7, he says, "But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And so why baptism? It's a command of God. It's an act of obedience. It's a public confession. And then it's also our identity. Baptism symbolizes identifying with Christ and the people of God. Galatians 3:27, it says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so, let's go on here. In 1 Peter 3:21, I need to turn to that. Peter says, "A like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So here it sounds like water is what saves you. And I don't think that's what he's saying at all. We are saved by the baptism. It simply symbolizes that Christ's death and his resurrection. Christ dying and he resurrecting. As I said earlier, dying to self, being resurrected as a new person, and then living for Jesus. It's not the water that saves us, but it shows that there has been an inward cleansing. And that's an answer of a good and clear conscience before God. An inward cleansing has taken place prior to baptism. So if you haven't experienced salvation, if you haven't experienced Jesus Christ in your life and forgiveness of sin, then baptism really is not doing anything for you. It's only a show for people out there. And if someone has told you that because you're baptized, you're saved, going to heaven, I'm sorry, but they lied to you. That's not the truth. It's not what the Bible says. We're not saved because we are baptized. We're baptized because we're saved. So remember that. I realize there are those teachings that would give that impression that because we're baptized, we're automatically going to heaven. It's not any more true than because you're born into a certain family and your parents, your grandparents, and all those are Christian. So you're a Christian too. You're just automatic. It's not an automatic thing. It's it comes back to a confession with my mouth, personally. You can't do it for me. I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you, boys. But you have to do it yourself. And you have done that. You've acknowledged your need. And Christ met that need. He comes in. And his Holy Spirit comes in and gives you power and gives you guidance for your Christian life. How to walk it. And how to bring glory to God. "For if you've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin." Again, and I'd like to just read 1 Peter 3:21 in the Amplified. I meant to do that a little earlier, and I forgot. But I think I like the wording, and it just brings it a little more clear. At least it does for me. Hopefully it will for you. And it says, "And baptism, which is a figure of their deliverance, does now also save you from inward questionings and fears, not by the removing of outward body filth, bathing, but by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience, inward cleanness and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." If water would do the cleansing, then we would go out and we would gather people and we would take them to the ocean and we would baptize them. But that doesn't work. It takes an inward, and it takes a inward experience, but it takes a you want to. Personally, I want to do this. Not because of someone else, but because the Bible says I need to do that. And it's, again, it's a command from God. It's an act of obedience on our part. A public confession is good to tell the world that I'm going to serve Jesus. And the conversion experience gives us a new life, that we can live Jesus' way. And then it identifies us with God, with the kingdom of God, and it identifies us with the earthly body of believers. You become a part of a church, a group, and it gives you all the benefits that that gives you. You can be, the word leaves me now, but anyway, we become accountable to each other, and we need that in our Christian life so that we can help each other and encourage each other to walk as Jesus would have us walk. Thank you for your attention, and God bless you, Tristan and Trevor and Logan and Carter. And I wish you much blessings from God in this step of faith.